Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world, and welcome to Interop Radio for Tuesday, April 21st, 2015. I'm your host, Kurt Franklin, and we are glad you're here for this, the final episode of Interop Radio before we get to Interop 2015. Interop 2015, connecting the IT community, will begin next Monday in the beautiful Mandalay Bay Convention Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. There's still time to register, so for more information or to register, please go to www.interop.com and be sure to use that promo code RADIO to get a $200 discount on your full conference admission. Now, to begin our show today, we have a great panel. We have a great friend of Interop Radio, Romy Mahajan, who's brought together a panel who's going to talk about a really tremendous topic, what you can learn about customers from games. Now, this is just an example of the kind of great information that happens in the conference in Interop, and we're pleased to have Romy and his guests bring us a sample of this kind of tremendous information today. Well, Romy, I don't want to keep our guests hanging on any longer, so I'll turn things over to you and let you begin your panel.
Thanks so much, Kurt. It's always a real pleasure, and this is a highlight of my week to be part of Interop Radio. Today I have a really interesting panel aboard and a very interesting topic, something that me and my panel have been thinking about for some time. We have Dharmesh Goda, who is the president and CTO of Advaya Solutions, a digital marketing and content company based in Redmond, Washington. Sunny Niyogi, who is the VP of marketing and CMO of Adipi Corporation, a company dedicated to digital and cloud transformation for large customers, and John Smith, the founder and VP of Games, a digital video game and video game console company. So today, I'm going to be talking about the concept of games and how games as a metaphor actually teach us a lot about customers. So I'm going to start my the show today with a couple statements and a couple questions, and then have our panel respond. So the first statement that I make is that I believe that games as a metaphor, that the concept of games and gamification are fundamental for understanding how we think about customers, especially in the digital age. Sunny, walk me through that statement. Is that a true or false statement? And what is your take on the statement that games are the right metaphor when you think about customer engagement?
Thank you, Romy, and that's a wonderful question. Right, I know as a head of marketing, I always have this riff with our CEO saying, why can't we produce a viral video like Spice, Old Spice, right? And if you think of the simple question that a CEO might ask the head of marketing, I think the counter to that is really what is at the core of, understanding games and through games, understanding customers, right? Now, as I think of gamification in understanding customers, especially in the digital age, right, you're really trying to get to two or three things. One is basically, usage and therefore a derived sense of loyalty from that, right? So, games, well-designed games in particular, helps your customers come back to your product or your service over and over again to consume it, to learn something from it, to educate themselves. And in that context, if a game is well designed, it leads you to many customer interactions when earlier you could have had just one-off interaction, right? Something like Foursquare is a classic example of that. Just by, the consumers or the customers, using the service many times during a day lets Foursquare understand a lot more about their customer, right? So if you design a game well, which leads to more customer engagement, you are destined to learn more about your customers. That, I think, is
wonderful.
Very fundamental. Right?
Wonderful. Thank you, Sunny. That's really good. Dharmesh, the concept of games as a metaphor for understanding customer interaction. Can you comment on that from your experience, both in the IT space and in the larger customer segments in general?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Romy. And I completely agree with the idea that Sunny was talking about having a well-designed game, a well-designed concept of game, putting in place which can increase the interaction with the customers. What actually happens is, like, what we are trying to do in terms of gamification is basically we are trying to nudge that psychological feeling of a consumer, of the user, which kind of encourages him to be competitive, to be like kind of become addictive to a certain concept. So that psychological thing that we are trying to achieve out of this whole gamification of certain thing, we actually really need to understand, like, what are the soft corners, or what are the corners that kind of are going to be easy to touch with when it comes down to talking about a specific purpose and all. So when we are trying to increase interaction with the customers, let's identify what that customer is thinking about, what are the areas that particular kind of customers or types of customers would be interested in, and how we can increase involvement by creating some sort of competitiveness, some sort of like coming back syndrome, like I need to come back and I need to win, some sort of feeling that, hey, I need to show off myself by doing these kinds of things. So we really need to understand that the group of customers we are trying to target and come up with a concept which is going to help in achieving those kinds of stuff.
Wonderful. So going from the ethereal to the material, John Smith, you are the co-founder and vice president of Games, which is a company dedicated to the gaming experience and the portability of gaming. Can you comment on what games as a metaphor or as an idea teach us about customers?
So, thank you, Romy. The thing about games is, I think when you talk about the culture of human beings all over the globe, games is one of the ways that people interact. They can compete with each other on a positive level in most cases, thus bettering themselves with strategy, everything else. So gamification and gaming in any way, shape, or form is sort of our competitive way of getting better with everything. So when you go into the material world, one of the things that we've noticed is that people that tend to be successful in that technical world tend to like to play video games, et cetera, and being able to provide that access to them helps them keep their brains working, keeps them socially in tune, keeps them tied with other people versus what a lot of people in the world have thought for decades, and that is gaming created in isolation, but it does not. So I would say that's kind of my approach on gaming, how it touches people and how the physical gets touched as well. Giving people access to gaming actually gives them access to the same pieces of their inner self that wants to be in a competitive and social environment.
So, John, from what you're saying, is gaming really about community building? Much like the Interop event is about community building for the IT professionals, gaming is really about community building. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's exactly what I'm saying, Romy, and you said it in a much shorter way. But gaming and gamers is one of the most community-based social environments that exist. It's one of the least talked about pieces of gaming, the aspects of gaming. People don't realize that the average gamer, when you talk about core gamers, is almost 50-50 men and women, 50% each way. People don't consider themselves typically female being core gamers because they say, I don't play, say, an American game like Call of Duty, a very Americanized version of a game. But they may play Candy Crush for 5, 6, 8 hours a week and not realize they're doing it. But what happens is the beauty of this whole thing is the gaming world really is about the majority of the world, not a minority segment. It's the majority, and they want to be socially in tune. So the average gamer, here's some real statistics. The average gamer has a higher than average income. a higher than average IQ. They are more than the average in tune with politics, not just video games. They are socially more connected than the average rest of the world. So gaming, much like what you were talking about, you know, with Interop, it's all about the community learning from each other, whether you're a gamer wanting to go to a community where people are better than you, or whether you want to go there to teach people so you can have more competition. It's still connecting, and it's still communicating, and it's still socializing with something that is common to them, in this case, a game. Or maybe games.
So let me, so thank you, John. Let me divert a little bit. Sunny, you, Aditi has made its name by helping large enterprise customers transform their businesses, both from a digital and cloud perspective. When you think about the concept of games and you think about connecting it to the enterprise, does it seem frivolous? Does it seem like we're talking about a consumerization that really has no place in the enterprise?
Well, you know, Romy, that answer is not so simple. I'll give you a historical anecdote to, you know, make it slightly more in front of us. But before I get into that, there are really three core things that happen when you put the metaphor of gaming in the metaphor of business, right? One of them has got to do with the part that John was talking about, which is, you know, building a community of sorts around, you know, your service. It's just not a transaction, but it's a relationship and a community, which kind of strengthens the, you know, like Metcalfe's law, strengthens the value of the network, right? So as more customers get onto your platform and as more they interact, the both the business that is providing the services or the consumers who are, you know, consuming the service, they get better over time, right? And the best example for that is LinkedIn. That is a classic B2B scenario where gaming the, right? Sorry?
Beautiful example. Beautiful example.
All right. Thanks. So, you know, just for what LinkedIn has done really is basically it has opened up a community. And, you know, in the community, you can keep scores, right? You can see whether your profile is 90% complete, how, you know, how many recommendations you've got, how many, you know, connections you've got that are better than you and things like that. Right? So that is one aspect of that. The second aspect of, you know, translating gaming metaphor into a business metaphor, and especially, you know, where we can see a consumer example seeping into the enterprise, is perhaps Quora. Right. If you go to Quora, and I use Quora a lot, so, you know, in, if you go to Quora, what they have done is they have built an amazing community. But within the community, they also let people upvote each other's questions and answers. And in the process, you build expertise in particular field. Right. So if you go to Quora and, you know, just, you know, fire up a search on algorithmic complexity, you will perhaps find the top, you know, three of the top five world leaders on algorithmic complexity asking questions, answering questions, and, you know, their answers are voted up more and more. Actually, it helps you build a kind of expertise. And if you transfer that back to an enterprise scenario, and I'm pretty certain all of us use some sort of an intranet, right? And as you have question answers, and, you know, for us, we have a Yammer inside the enterprise, and you can upvote, downvote, and you can basically, you know, for a large company like ours, 25,000 people work, you can quickly find out who are the go-to persons for one particular area of expertise. So if I have a question on something as complex as machine learning, I throw out a question and similar to Quora Dynamics, I see a few people, you know, participating, their answers getting voted up, and I usually go to the person who was number one and number two in terms of user votes, right? So that's a beautiful example of, you know, using knowledge networks, gaming the system so that people can, you know, compete against each other by dint of their wisdom and really stand out, right? So that is perhaps the second scenario where an enterprise uses game as a metaphor, right? The third example is perhaps the one that I love the most, and which is kind of, not very obvious, which is the use of gaming to increase productivity, right? And games have always been used to increase productivity, right? So one aspect of game is to, you know, inspire to solve complicated problem and stand out and compete in the community, which, you know, the World of Warcraft, et cetera, have done really well. The other part is using games to get people to a sense of flow, as, you know, Mihaly Kamenetsky would say, right? Where you are in a state of mind where you are just optimally inspired, right? And the root of this comes from way, way back. And when people are building pyramids, right, long back, and, you know, suddenly think of the guy who's building the pyramid, right? You have slaves from, you know, the hundreds of occupied territories who is, you know, hauling huge amounts of stones up a steep curve. And it's not a very good working place environment to be in. You and I would never sign up for that, right? So what this guy would do, he essentially says, look, I'm going to break you down in teams. You are from Crete, you are from, you know, this island, that island, this occupied territory, et cetera. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep a public scorecard of who has moved most amount of stones, right? And what that did was that it injected a bit of competitive scenario within the community that's building the pyramids. And before you knew it, there were, you know, small groups competing against each other, saying, "I have, you know, taken more stone up the path today," right? But to make it sustainable, what each of those, you know, small groups of people who are building the pyramids of the space realizes, there is an optimum number. You know, if you push beyond, say, 100 stones, next day you would do 30, right? Because you are completely done with your energy. So each of those teams kind of identified the flow and settled there. If you not translate that back to what happens today in enterprise, right? There's a sense of hierarchy, like the pyramid builders. There's also a sense of competition. You might see that in sales teams and marketing team, right? So I think that, again, is a great gaming metaphor that translates back to enterprise.
I love that. I love those examples. Dharmesh, to make a little joke out of this, we're going to move from pyramids and slaves to IT, but make this real for IT. Tell me what IT and IT organizations, how they can benefit from thinking about the notion of gamification, either for their internal customers or for the way they think about their own role and how that connects into the rest of the organization.
Sure. So when it comes down to IT, IT serves businesses in multiple ways. What IT can provide right now, I mean, look, basically extending on the example that Sunny was talking about, is like taking the concept providing a platform where the gamification concepts can be implemented. So the platforms like Yammer or Quora for internet kind of thing, those are the areas where IT can also benefit by providing those kinds of gamification platforms. What IT can do is also create platforms where they can encourage new ideas to weave in, to encourage new concepts, new products, new service ideas, new business models, and those kinds of things to cultivate. What happens in a typical organization, and we implemented this thing for a very large software company, what we did was we basically created a gaming environment where we encouraged people to come in and submit their ideas. And then their ideas about products or services were voted up and down using various gamification processes and all. The thing that came down to is like how many people will start betting the most number of virtual dollars on a particular idea or something like that. So creating some sort of a gaming environment like that, what helps new ideas to get cultivated from within the organization and create a very healthy atmosphere, a very healthy environment where the things are coming out within the organization and they're getting cultivated up to create new products, new services, new concepts, new platforms, and those kind of stuff.
So I'll just add one thing to that editorially, that I think in IT, when they're trying to get their user base internally to adopt, let's say, a new technology or a new particular set of rules, they should gamify it so people think that it's actually more interesting and fun than just getting a command and control concept. That said, John Smith, you're the VP and founder of Games, a company that is that's dedicated to the portable gaming experience. Can you comment on the following statement? Going back to Sunny's notion of the enterprise and gamification, enterprise decision makers are often cast in particular roles, but in their first instance, they're people, and as people, they're very likely gamers. How do we use the different incarnations people have, the different roles people play in the world, to actually help the gaming concept energize the enterprise?
Well, that's actually a pretty interesting statement, Romy. There's a lot of things about this, but I'm going to focus in on one. I'm going to focus in on the changing of the gaming world as we kind of knew it through Xbox. So Microsoft introduced a new concept. It wasn't completely new, but it was an innovation of it where they had Xbox Live. Everybody out there became social. Everybody could see what other people were doing, how they were gaming, etc., and the achievements that they could earn. That was actually the real magical part of gaming and when it really changed, because when you are competing with a friend or a coworker, sort of the end prize typically is the promotion or the special award or something along that lines. So that really has always been a game, but people didn't look at that as gamification. So when you talk about the business world and what really set the tone is the public announcements and the things that kind of have been done, but on a competitive level internally, achievements for certain goals, steps, whatever the company would like to see happen, find a way to reward it and reward it publicly and not just necessarily be somewhere that is hidden on a wall in a den in somebody's home office, but something that can be seen publicly, shared awards. You know, that to me is really the way you can have people achieve a higher level. And even that term goes into the gamification of the video game world. You want to get to the next level. I mean, we've heard that phrase used over and over and over in our business lives and our personal lives. How do you get to the next level? Well, what is that level? How many steps are in that level? And how do you make it visible? And when it's visible, it actually goes into the level, it goes into fun. So you make work fun, and then that's kind of it. It becomes a game again, and then it becomes enjoyable, and you want to go there and achieve
it. I love that. I love that, John. I have a question for each of you. I'm going to ask you a staccato quick question. I'm going to make a statement. I'd like you to respond to it. Based on what I've heard, I would say that every single company of any decent size should have a game strategy internally and externally for customers. Dharmesh, agree or disagree?
Agreed.
Sunny, agree or disagree?
Well, I strongly agree with that, Romy.
And John, agree or disagree?
I strongly agree, and one other statement, make it highly visible.
Make it highly visible. Now that leads us to the next sort of set of questions, which is if indeed gamification and the gaming metaphor is a universally applicable strategic pillar for companies internally and externally, should the internal and external strategies differ with regard to gamification? Let's start with Sunny Niyogi.
Well, it's a hard question to answer, right? I think from an internal perspective, what people are really trying to understand is to, you know, elevate the sense of productivity, elevate knowledge-led competitiveness and things like that, right? While from an external perspective, especially when you're interacting with customers, what you're really trying to, you know, the core behavioral dynamics at play there is loyalty, right? And through loyalty and usage, understand a bit more of the customer. So it's kind of a slightly different way of lens of looking at it. And I give you a technology paradigm to kind of understand this better. So I'll say, for example, for our friends in the IT department, right, I think, you know, a lot of our time is spent on creating what we call the systems of records, right, where, you know, you are essentially trying to get hold of, you know, the RFP or the SOW or, you know, or the timesheet or, you know, dashboard and things like that. And those things have been solved, you know, you have systems like SAP and, you know, the people who are running them pretty well, right? And if you want to increase gamification within the enterprise, what you do is you leverage the system of record and build ways for, you know, your employees to start engaging better with that. And I think that's where a lot of IT teams struggle, is to build my systems of engagement that are internally focused, right? A basic intranet is not very complicated, but having dynamics at play that lets employees come back over and over again, and as John was saying, to really, you know, engage with that process to, you know, to stand out. It's a bit of a design challenge, which a lot of IT teams kind of struggle with, right? And if you could, you know, shift that lens towards the external organization, what you build a lot of is the systems of engagement, you know, a mobile app or a website or all systems of engagement which a customer engages with you on, as are your service reps, your call centers, et cetera. Right? So those things are pretty well done for the external enterprise, external facing part of the enterprise. But what it lacks on the customer facing side is what, you know, Satya Nadella from Microsoft calls this, is the systems of intelligence, right? As to how, you know, given that customers are interacting with you, how do you really understand a little bit more and predict a little bit more and get ahead of the interaction and, you know, partner with the customers better? So I think it's, you know, a two-faced challenge when you are trying to implement gamification internally, where your challenge is to, you know, elevate the thinking beyond system of record to system of engagement, and when you are external, to elevate the conversation from system of engagement to a system of intelligence, right? So I think from an IT perspective, that's the right way of thinking about it.
So from systems of record to systems of engagement, all the way to systems of intelligence. Dharmesh, should the internal and external gamification strategies be similar or different?
They will be different. I mean, there are different objectives to be achieved on the internal and on the external side. One thing I want to mention is basically gamification is not a new concept. It's probably a new identification or new categorization, but gamification existed from, as Sunny mentioned, like from ancient ages to even now, and even knowingly or unknowingly, there are a bunch of gamification or game kind of scenarios exist. So when it comes down to internal, you are talking about certain level of interactiveness, certain level of internal goals that you are trying to achieve, whether it is achieving more productivity, achieving more output throughput, or achieving new or creating new product ideas and those kinds of things. When it is external, it comes down to customer loyalty. It turns like things like Amazon encourages people to write reviews on certain products and all. I mean, that's also a part of gamification. Like they encourage you to write as many reviews as possible and all. So those are all aspects of things coming in. I mean, there are different use cases, different scenarios. The platform might be different for different implementation. The customers are different. The users are different. Concepts may be similar, but the implementation will be different.
Wonderful. John Smith, VP and co-founder of Games. Tell us about your view. Gamification internally and externally. Same strategy or a different strategy?
Well, here's where I differ from a lot of people in the business world. I'm going to say it needs to be the same. And that's because nobody makes any money until money comes in from the customer. So if your goal is not about making money, then to me, it's not a relevant business for talking about any of this. So regardless of whether you're looking at shareholder value or anything else that people put in their basic philosophy of what their business is, it's about getting a customer to part with one of their dollars to put it in your pocket. And how you use it is up to the business. So the way I would look at the strategy is it is exactly the same with the same end goal. However, much like many video games where you can choose a different path to that end goal, let's say a World of Warcraft, a very common game that a lot of people play and a lot of people understand. You can be a wizard and use magic, and you will get certain achievements and values for being that wizard. You could be a warrior, and through that you might get other achievements, but they're all basically in alignment of that end goal. And if you are an archer. So that, to me, looks like the different roles inside of the business. You're going to have people that have certain specific roles and goals that should all end up at the same end goal. So although you may have different achievements internally, they should all be in direct alignment with that end goal. And if that end goal is forgotten, then you're playing the wrong game. Each business is a game. It's not a variety of games. It's one game. How to get $1. Yeah.
So, John, if I can paraphrase, I like the idea. It's that there should be a continuum between the internal forces and the external forces, because we're all in the business of making money and ultimately wowing our customers. So, wonderful, wonderful panel. These are three people that I learn a lot from on a daily and weekly basis. John Smith, VP and co-founder of Games. Dharmesh Goda, President and CTO of Advice Solutions, and Sunny Niyogi, VP and CMO of Aditi. I've been very, very inspired by this show, so much so that I think I'm going to go start a new business purely on gamification. So, Kurt, thank you once again for a wonderful opportunity to do a wonderful panel, and I'll hand it back to you.
Romy, as always, thanks to you and thanks to all of your guests for being with us and for providing us with an absolutely fascinating group of ideas about games and gamifications. And I have to tell you that my son is studying game design, and I'm going to get him to listen to this show, and we've got a lot of conversation coming up. I'm also looking forward to seeing Romy in Las Vegas at Interop. He'll be a guest on a show out there. So we appreciate each and every one of these gentlemen for being with us today. Now, this brings us to the midway point of our show. So being the midway point, I want to take just a moment to let you know that Interop Las Vegas will take place beginning next Monday. We'll be live from Las Vegas starting next Monday. Actually, we'll have Interop Radio episodes beginning from Las Vegas this coming Friday. I'm flying out to Las Vegas on Thursday. We'll have our first episode from the Still Under Construction Network Operations Center on Friday. We'll have another pre-show episode on Sunday evening, just before everything opens up, and then we have a whole group of Interop Radio episodes coming to you from Las Vegas next week. There will be an article on Information Week under the Interop tab that gives you the URL of each and every one of those shows along with their times and topics. Please check that out in the next day or so, because we really want you to be with us at Interop. Now, when I say we want you to be with us, if you can be in Las Vegas, that's exactly where you should be. To get more information and to register, please go to www.interop.com and be sure to use the promo code RADIO when signing up. Get you a couple hundred dollars off your full conference registration. Well, I want to talk about the conference at Interop now. And to do that, I have two great guests. We have Executive Editor of Information Week, Dave Wagner, joining us. Dave, welcome to Interop Radio.
Hi, Kurt. Thanks for having me.
We also have Andrew Conry Murray, whose title I forget, but he's sort of the king of all content at Interop. Drew, welcome to Interop Radio.
Thanks, Kurt. I'll take king of all content. That works for me.
I think it fits what you do and your personality. I can see you doing the whole Game of Thrones thing easily. Yes, when you get to Las Vegas, look for Drew sitting on the Iron Throne. He'll be hard to miss.
I'm more of a Winterfell guy, but, you know, something.
Well, to get us started, because if winter's not coming, Interop certainly is. Dave, I wanted to talk to you first, because you have a very targeted point of view into the Interop conference. You're dealing with a specific set of things going on there. Can you tell us about what you're doing in the conference at Interop?
I'm actually the mother of dragons, if Drew is king of Winterfell. funny enough, I think of it as a very unfocused. I'm doing a little bit of everything at Interop. The one that is probably most interesting to our guests is I'm one of the judges for the Best of Interop Awards for the Applications Division. And I'm also presenting. I have, as part of the Information Week Conference, which is co-located with Interop, I am doing a town hall on big data and analytics. And just for fun, also, I'm going to be interviewing a couple who met at Interop who are getting married because of an Interop love connection. So I'm getting to do a lot of fun things at Interop this year.
And really, is there anything more romantic than a room full of networking equipment? I can't think of anything that's more romantic, so I see how that works out perfectly.
Well, there's a nice warm glow coming off the lights on the systems, I think.
That's true. The blinky lights give everything a festive air, and I just think that's a wonderful thing, and it does. While it's easy to see that as a wonderfully sort of lighthearted thing, it does speak to something that I heard over and over again when I was doing the shows from Hot Stage, where InteropNet was put together for the first time a couple of weeks ago. When I was talking to the engineers, all the people who participated in Hot Stage, they kept saying that the reason they come back is the people. It's the personal relationships, the opportunity to get together with people they've worked with before on this very special project and do it again. And they just love getting in there, solving networking problems, playing with the technology, but doing it with friends. I actually had a couple describe it as geek summer camp. And I think that works. The people...
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, Kurt. I that's the purpose of my session as well. Being a town hall, what I'm going to do, it's a breakfast. It's at 7:30 in the morning, so get up early and be excited. Tuesday, April 18th, or excuse me, 28th. And what we're hoping to do is sponsored by All Analytics, which is a sister publication to Interop, and All Analytics is a community that meets virtually 365 days a year. It's all professionals in the analytics world. We know that that community extends beyond just that virtual world. We know that data scientists, data analysts, CIOs, CFOs, COOs, CMOs, they all are part of a data community. And my goal is to bring everybody together in a room and have a really good conversation. I'm going to do a 10-20-minute spiel on what I see are the trends in big data. But really the goal is for everybody to come together. We're going to get together. We'll talk about problems. We'll talk about solutions. We're going to talk about the successes and the failures in as honest and a frank way as possible. And I think that's the whole point of a conference like Interop, is to get together with your peers in your community and really learn from one another.
Drew, I want to turn that same sort of question to you. When you are putting together things at Interop and when you're talking to the people who have been there before, do they tell you that the members of the community matter? Is that something that you take into account when you're putting together the conference and all of the events that go around something like Interop?
Absolutely. It's definitely something we take into account. And I've heard from several people, particularly over the last couple of weeks as we get closer to the show, that it's sort of like an opportunity. It's like a little family reunion. You get to see people that you may have met under professional circumstances elsewhere but don't get to see very often. And you both show up in Las Vegas. You get to hang out, do some sessions together, do some of the activities in the evening together. So it's really a nice opportunity to, you know, see people you know. It's also we're having a little fun with that notion of community. Something we're trying new this year is Interop Rockstar Bingo. We've got a lot of independent speakers, IT experts coming to talk at Interop, and we thought we'd have a little fun because some of them are sort of like mini celebrities within their realms of networking or security and so on. So our friends at Network Computing made a great little bingo card sheet of about 20, 25 people that are speaking. You can print it out, carry it around with you. If you see them, check them off. If you get a row or, you know, across up, down, diagonal, you can take that to the Interop headquarters and spin our wheel of prizes. So it's just a fun little way to connect with folks, say hi to people. Maybe you having a, you know, if Yvonne Pepelniak is somebody that you've always wanted to talk to, or Howard Marks talking about storage, or Jonathan Feldman talking about cloud, this gives you a little opportunity to walk up, introduce yourself, and say, hey, by the way, I'm playing bingo, the bingo game, and, you know, can you sign off on this, and then start a conversation.
You know, I absolutely love that, especially coming on the heels of the panel discussion that we just had, injecting that little bit of fun into this. And at least two of the people you just mentioned are folks that I've known for a long time. Both Howard and Jonathan are wonderful folks. I know they would love to have the conversations that are going to come out of people walking up to them with their bingo cards. So if you're listening to this,
just,
you know, definitely
sorry,
get
Kurt,
one of those
bingo. Just to be clear, we did ask their permission first, so if you come up waving this card, you're not going to look like a stalker or a weirdo. They know what's going on.
Or if you do look like a stalker or a weirdo, they've seen worse. I think that's an important thing to have out there. So you know, we definitely want to go ahead and have fun with this because, you know, let's face it, while networking, while communications are our business, most of us are in this because we enjoy it. It's not the only thing we could do, we're part of the business because we really enjoy it. And that means enjoying not only the technology, solving all the technological problems that crop up, but because we enjoy dealing with the people, and that's hugely important. Now, Dave, I want to turn back to you because I know that you're going to be covering a number of things for Information Week, and you're also just going to be taking part in the general interplay of human beings that happen to be at Interop. Can you give us an idea of the kind of things you're going to be covering and what you're going to be doing while you're there at the show?
Right. Well, the number one thing I'm going to be doing now is playing bingo, I think, and scheming to figure out how I'm going to be on next year's bingo card. but beyond that, I am going to be covering the leadership track at Interop, which I'm very excited about. And I'm going to be covering the Information Week conference, which, as I said, is co-located with Interop. And I'm looking to get as many CIOs to talk to me as possible while I'm there. One thing I'm really looking forward to, although I may not actually personally get to it, but let me tell you, if you haven't done it before, you absolutely need to take a session on creative leadership from Rob Cordova. Rob Cordova is fantastic. He will get you thinking about things in a way you've never thought about before, help you learn to innovate with your team and outside of your team. I'm really looking forward to seeing that again if I can. If not, that's definitely going to be my biggest regret, that if I can't get over there. And I believe his session is Monday afternoon. Really, if you have just one thing to see at Interop, I think that would be it.
You know, I'm going to agree with you. We actually sat in on the same presentation that Rob gave a few months ago, and he absolutely was incredible in both the content that he was able to give to us and in the way he did it. I think I have remembered what he said more than is the case for just about any other high-level executive trainer I've ever listened to. So that is, you are absolutely correct. He is a superb person to listen to. Now, I know that Rob's not the only person that's worth listening to. So Drew, I would love for you to sort of give me some of your highlights. What are some of the, you know, either keynotes or some of the special non-keynote sessions that you think people might want to make sure are on their dance cards when they're there in Las Vegas for Interop?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with Dave about Rob Cordova. One of the things we're trying to inject into Interop, it's very technology focused, but there is a whole human and leadership potential in IT as well that we think is, you know, people can take more advantage of. And so Rob can really help you figure out how to bring some innovation and creativity into your work in IT, and I think that's really important. So if you can see Rob, check it out. Something else I'd recommend is the Dark Reading is providing a one-day, we're calling it a cybersecurity crash course. The editors at Dark Reading, Tim Wilson and Kelly Jackson Higgins, really know their stuff, and they've assembled a great panel, a great slate of speakers to go over a full day talking about why information security is important and how you as an IT professional can understand it and package it up so that you can come back to your business leaders and say, this is what we need to be doing. This is why we need to do it. Here's a rationale. Here's a business rationale. You know, a lot of times the complaint you hear about security folks in IT is that they know a lot about security, but when they try to translate risk or translate why this is something important to the business, they have a hard time. So if you come to this course, I think you'll get a great sense of just what the risks are out there and then how to communicate that to business leaders who may not be, you know, security folks. That's something I would definitely look out for. Something else I recommend, this is new this year for Interop Las Vegas, we're doing some roundtables. These are just little 45-minute sessions that are happening in between the workshops on Monday and Tuesday. It's very informal, very casual. It's not a presentation. There's no slides. It's just sort of a hosted session on a variety of topics. So we're going to be talking about DevOps. We're going to be talking about private cloud. We're also going to be talking about IT burnout and how folks are dealing with stress in the IT profession. So it's an opportunity, really, where we're going to have a host rather than a speaker whose job is to facilitate a discussion with attendees. So it's more about having folks come and talk and share with each other as opposed to just sit and listen to a speaker, and I'm really excited about that.
You know, I think those are some great ideas. And on the security front, I know some of the folks that they've got coming in there, and you're absolutely right. These are experts that can help you not only understand security at a much higher level, but help you understand it to an extent that you can talk to other people about what needs to be done and why in the organization. Those are critical things that are just missing in too many of the security discussions that are out there. So I think this is great stuff that we have. And I think you've done just a stellar job of putting together a total conference that has something for just about everyone who's involved in enterprise networking or someone who is at a smaller organization, and maybe they're responsible for all of the networking and much of the IT, and they feel like they need this deeper knowledge. You've got it set up so that they can come to Las Vegas, sign up for InterOp, and leave with a much more complete skill set and package of knowledge than they had coming in. So this is going to be a great week out there.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I'm just thinking about the different session tracks that we've got. If you need to get your hands around storage and what's going on with SSDs and flash and hyperconvergence, we've got a track. Virtualization, we've got a track. Cloud computing with our Cloud Connect Summit, digging into hybrid clouds and what's going on with Docker and microservices and what's around the corner for cloud. A dedicated information security risk management track. And, of course, an infrastructure track focused on the network and networking and data centers and all that good stuff. Not to mention leadership, applications, and I think there's a couple more I'm leaving out. But, yeah, so if you need to get a lot of information on multiple subjects, InterOp's the place to come.
And if that's not enough, on the East Coast yesterday it was rainy and cold, and in Las Vegas it was over 80 degrees.
Ooh, you gotta like that.
Yeah, we're at the Mandalay Bay Conference Center, and I know from experience they have a fantastic pool complex outside. If you also need to take a few minutes away from the show floor, I highly recommend the wave pool.
The wave pool. And you know, nothing is better than sitting by the wave pool listening to InterOp Radio. That's sort of the ultimate experience. So we expect to see a lot of people doing that. You know, there's just so much that goes on at InterOp, and we want to remind our listeners that they should be keeping up on Twitter, on Instagram, on all of the social media with the InterOp hashtag, because there's a lot of stuff already going on for the InterOp community through social media. We've got InterOp Radio that thousands of people are listening to, getting information. And I think it's important, and Drew, you can back me up on this, I think, that while right now we're focused on the incredible event that's going to be happening next week out in Las Vegas, the InterOp community doesn't just spring into being and then go away. We're going to have a lot of community activity that continues after the actual event in Las Vegas. So I don't think that we should see this as something that, you know, a week from Friday, the curtain will come down and InterOp is over for another year. It's really just a time when everybody comes together and then we go off to our places of business and continue being part of the InterOp community. Is that the way you see it?
Absolutely. You know, and I have to say, if I'm the king of content, then you're probably the voice of InterOp. The work you're doing with InterOp Radio, which happens throughout the year, is a really important way that we're providing a venue for the community to come together, to join podcasts and listen. And if you're interested in being a guest, coming on as a guest, You can also follow us on Twitter. We've got, we'll be doing blogging and other things at informationweek.com with an interop portal there. So yes, the idea is absolutely to keep this community going, to keep conversations going, to maintain those personal connections and information sharing throughout the year, and then get together for our in-person gathering out in Las Vegas. But yeah, just because Vegas will be over at the end of next week doesn't mean the interop community gets packed up and folded away. We're going to keep going throughout the year.
Well, we are coming to the end episode of Interop Radio, so I'm going to do what I tend to do every time. Dave, I'll start with you. I know that you're going to be heading to Las Vegas a little bit later this week. Can you tell folks how they can keep up with you on social media and where they should look for all of your Interop mixed media, social media wonderfulness that you're going to be putting out?
Well, they can follow me on Twitter at GeekEndDave, and that's GeekEnd like weekend, but with a G. And they can follow my content on informationweek.com, particularly in the IT Life section of Information Week, which is our career and management and lifestyle section of Information Week. And then hopefully somebody will come by and just say hi to me. I'll be around at Interop all week. You'll see me near Kurt at the radio booth. You'll see my session on Tuesday, and I will be covering as much in the leadership track as possible. So check out my picture on informationweek.com and track me down.
That we will certainly do. Drew, how about you? I know that you normally do some blogs over on the Interop tab of Information Week, but I suspect you're going to be busy for the next few days. So how can people keep up with you during Interop?
Yeah, I'm also on Twitter at @interop_Andrew. Would love a follow, and I'll follow you back. And I think I'll be popping up on your radio show while we're in Las Vegas. And yes, you can find my blogs at informationweek.com/interop.
Outstanding. Now, for everyone who wants to see what happens, as Dave said, we're going to have Interop Radio in a section of the show office booth right there on the floor of the Interop Expo. You'll be able to see us there. There'll be signs. I'll also have a table set up in the Network Operations Center in what some people are calling Kurt's Corner. We're going to have a number of bloggers and social media folks who are there from some of the companies who have contributed to the InteropNet. They'll be joining me there in the little bullpen. It'll be easy to find in either of those places. If I'm not actually on the air, please feel free to stop by, say hello, because to be honest, I would love to hear your story. I would love to hear the stories of the people who make up the Interop community. We're doing, I think, a decent job of telling some of the stories around the vendors who make up the InteropNet. We're doing a good story about telling the stories of some of the engineers. We're telling the story of the conference, but I would really like to be able to tell the stories of the community. So look me up, hit me on social media. You can find me at KG4GWA on Twitter. Let me know, because I would love to talk with you. Now, this is it for Interop Radio today, but we will be back here on Friday. That's late in the day, so 5 p.m. Pacific time, so that's 8 p.m. Eastern, live from Las Vegas. I'm heading out to Las Vegas later this week, so Friday the Expo 4 will be under construction, the Network Operations Center will be under construction, but we'll be there live with Interop Radio, letting you know everything that's going on, everything that's happening to get Interop ready for you to show up. Well, for Dave Wagner, Executive Editor for Communities and IT Life at Information Week, for Drew, Andrew Conry Murray, the king of all content at Interop. I'm Kurt Franklin saying thanks so much for being with us. Hey, we'll see you back here Friday evening from Las Vegas.